Jesus said to the 11 and those with them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, who is worthy of all worship and praise. Amen. Amen. One of the most moving and significant worship moments of my life occurred in a small indigenous village named Santiago, situated on the shore of Lake Aitatlan in Guatemala. I was there with a small group who was visiting elderly women as a part of a ministry of presence and listening, alongside a more formalized group who was coordinating food and some medical aid for those women. We first gathered at their elder center with those who could walk there, where they would meet for community and for food and for coffee. And then after some time of conversation, usually a lot of laughter and chit-chat as well, each woman would collect her bowl of stew, her bottle of hot coffee, and 9 tortillas, no more, no less, wrapping them tightly into her scarf and slowly heading down the winding alleyways toward her home. These indigenous women had lived very hard lives, being born into chronic malnutrition, having experienced a variety of traumas, including mudslides, which had claimed the lives of loved ones, along with the height of the Civil War in the 1980s, which had brought them and their families violence and death or disappearance of family members. Their stories are some of the most grotesque and graphic stories I've ever listened to, leading me to ask them more than once how they found hope and how would they go on. It was after listening to a handful of these stories on that day that our small group left the Elder Center to go and visit women who were either sick or dying or just not mobile enough to walk to the Elder Center. And as we arrived at each of their homes, we were invited to come and sit down and share some time and smiles and hugs together. And then the director of the Elder Center would ask them how they were doing, and we would wait. First, for her to listen and to respond in their Mayan language of Zutuhil, which she would then translate into Spanish, which I would then translate into English, and then we would all return to the woman's story and repeat this cycle of care and listening again. And one of the homes we entered that day was the home of a woman named Petronilla, a 77-year-old woman, who lived at home where the walls on the bottom were mud, on the top were bamboo, with a corrugated metal roof and a dirt floor. And she invited us in to her one-room house, showing us proudly her makeshift bed on one side and her rock-lined fire ring on the other side, which would serve as her kitchen. She had plastic garbage bags as a canopy over her bed to protect her from her leaking roof, and this little table with jars that had inside them recently collected large leafed herbs. And she showed us how she would take some of these herbs and mix them with the food we brought to make something that was meant to last 2 days, to last for four. She explained that this would make her belly feel more full and tide her over until the next food package of that bowl of stew and the bottle of water and the 9 tortillas. As she was not very mobile anymore, and as her husband and sons were killed during the Civil War, Petronilla had no income source, and so she relied on her friends and on the Elder Center for survival and companionship. And she was filled with such gratitude for the director and the visit, the food, and the willingness to share time together that she asked if we could pray. I followed the director's lead and soon found myself outside of Petronilla's house in a circle of people holding hands and prayer spewing forth. I was surprised and a little confused because at first one person had begun to pray out loud, but then another person started to pray out loud on top of the first person's voice, and then another, until I too found myself praying out loud into our circle. This was a fountain of worship, unlike I had never experienced, and it was in Zutuhil and in Spanish and in English, words on top of words, and it seemed like every other word was matios, or gracias, or thank you. Prayer was certainly occurring, but not in the way I was used to when we were asking God for this or that, or even thanking God for this particular thing. This was more than prayer. It was participating in worship. God was being thanked not just for the food, but for the time and the sunshine and the rain, for friendship, for the people, and God was most simply and explicitly being praised and worshiped. This went on for at least 15 minutes, with each person completing their prayer at a different time until at the end, we all stood with eyes open, tears streaming down our faces, the spirit pulsing through our bodies and our hands still holding each other. And then we took a collective breath. And we gave each other goodbyes and abrazos, knowing we had given all that was within us in that moment to God. Our gospel story today comes from the very end of the Gospel of Luke, and our first reading comes from the beginning of the book of Acts, which are attributed to the same author. They are both stories of Jesus' ascension, where he's carried up or is being taken up into heaven. And the disciples are there, witnessing this ascension and are described as experiencing many different emotions. In the part of the story that comes right before what we heard today, the disciples are fearful and found in disbelief, thinking the one who looks like Jesus standing in front of them is a ghost. And we hear Jesus again offering them peace and inviting them to touch and to see him, and finally asking for fish to eat so he can show them he is really in bodily form and not a ghost. And this is where our story picks up. We hear that Jesus opens the minds of the disciples so they can understand the scripture within the context of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and connect this understanding with repentance and forgiveness of sins. This opening up of their minds is followed by his declaration that they are witnesses who are called to proclaim, to cry out publicly this message of repentance and forgiveness. But first, they must be wait to be clothed with power from on high. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit, and we will hear that story next week at Pentecost. With his redeeming work now complete, Jesus is carried up into heaven, leaving his disciples with a blessing and a promise. And the disciples' response? Worship and praise. In ancient Greek, the word used here that we translate in English as worship comes from the verb proskuneo, with pros meaning toward and kuneo meaning to kiss. So to kiss toward. This is where we get that expression that to worship someone is to kiss the ground that they walk upon. The image that one prostrates themselves, bowing down in reverence. The disciples' response in that moment was to place themselves in that holy space of the kissing ground, in adoration of Jesus. Beloved Christ the King community, how do we enact this type of worship right here in our spiritual home? Are our hearts filled with such awe of God like those disciples, so filled with joy and gratitude like Petronilla and the other indigenous women, that we are moved to worship and with joy to continually return week after week to our temple, our spiritual home right here, for the sole purpose of blessing God? Do we enter, placing ourselves in that holy space of worship, in that kissing ground, in adoration of Jesus? The problem in our world is that society that we live in all week tells us that we need to consume to find happiness. The messaging is all around us, visually, digitally, in conversations spoken and unspoken, that we need to constantly be acquiring this thing or that thing, which is never enough. So then we need more, we want more, and we become critical of what we do have because it is never enough. And if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit we sometimes bring this into the church, into our own spiritual home. And so we often enter with a spirit of consumerism rather than a spirit of worship and adoration and gratitude. We find fault with details of what could have and should have, what would have, what has been better, more excellent, what we liked more. This is consumption, and it's never good enough. And we criticize and complain and talk about what could have or would have or should have been better. We become consumers rather than worshipers, observers and criticizers rather than participants. But our story today shows us a more excellent way, because this ascension story marks an important shift. Jesus' earthly work has now been completed. Now is the time for the shift to occur. Jesus' disciples will soon be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that they are able to participate in and continue on with Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission needs participants. Participants who humbly worship, prostrate before God in adoration of Jesus, who the Holy Spirit has called and enlightened, who are freed in Christ to serve. And beloved community, this spiritual home needs your participation and service, not as chores or an obligation so that God will love you, because God's love for you is certain, unwavering, and never ending. Our spiritual home needs your participation and service as your unique gifts are nudged by the Holy Spirit in response to the gift of grace you have already received. And there are so many ways our gifts can be used to the glory and praise and worship of God, both blessing God and blessing others. Petronilla's gift of sharing her story and inviting us to prayer blessed God. Your service in our worship space as ushers, servers, acolytes, choir members, altar guild members, your service blesses God and blesses others. Your service to each other in caring for each other, in supporting each other in house churches and small groups and knitting and quilting and cooking blesses God and blesses others. And your service to the broader community in sharing your resources and building deeper relationships with the oppressed and poor blesses God and blesses others. These opportunities of service are spiritual priorities. They are sacred spaces and times of encounter with God, who comes to us in a multitude of contexts. How can you and I remember the scriptures and understand them through Jesus in our daily lives? The good news, beloved community, is that we are not left to figure this out on our own. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us, and we have each other to lean on and to learn from. If you are inspired to serve in our worship space, we have leaders ready to train you, and one of them is even preparing animated videos that are super cool to help with that. If you're inspired to serve and care for others in our spiritual home, our Director of Congregational Engagement, hi, Deacon Amy, is ready to connect with you. That's the purpose of her position. If you're inspired to serve others in our broader community or local community, our Director of Community Engagement, who I know is here today also, there she is, Kim Williams, she's right there. She's ready to connect with you. This is the purpose of her position. Every person is uniquely gifted to serve in their own way throughout life's seasons. And if you're not sure yet, if you're in that in-between space waiting to be inspired, then I invite you to pray as the disciples did while waiting on the Holy Spirit. This could be individual prayer or prayer in community, or even by engaging in a new spiritual practice this summer, maybe creating a gratitude journal or meditating on a Bible verse each week. And if you're in a tough place in life right now and need spiritual care, please let us know. God's image is within you. You are precious and loved. You are clothed with the Holy Spirit, who will continue to equip and empower you so that you may proclaim through thought and word and deed the power from on high. Gracious God, remind us we are your beloved children. Jesus, open our minds, lead us to your path. Spirit, open our hearts and inspire our actions. Let us worship and praise our triune God today and always. Amen.